rest of my life. Not just part-time, but for the rest of my life, I'll serve the Lord. Anybody going to serve the Lord? Has he been so good? Yeah. Said he set me free. Amen. My computer only got happy. But you know, it's time to rejoice. We're in the Thanksgiving season where we talk about giving thanks. And you know, you don't just praise God on Sunday. You praise him every day. Giving thanks because he has been magnificent. Have you found anybody like God? Is there anyone that's kind as our Lord? Anybody as good as God? Anybody as faithful as God? He's been good to you. As a matter of fact, you ought to get your mirror out and look at yourself and tell yourself, the Lord's been good to me. Can I get a witness? We're grateful, and again, we salute our veterans. We thank you for the service that you've given. And certainly we thank our youth. They've been involved in a lot of activities and different things, helping out in our community. And this was sent as a thank you by the Pink Witnesses and the President Ingrid Dunneville. And they said, we are grateful for your support of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. And so they're saluting our youth and our young people. Thank you, young people, for what you do. Some say you're the church of tomorrow, but really you're the church of today. You're the church of today. We want to invite your attention for just a few minutes as we look at the second chapter of Ephesians. I'm excited because I want to be a winner in life. I don't want to lose every battle. I'd like to win some battles, amen? I'd like to be like for it to be said that you're winning. And when I say winning, it doesn't mean to win over somebody else. It simply means to win with. There's a difference between winning over and winning with. And when you're with a team, like a church, you want everybody to be a winner. You want everybody to rejoice and to be an overcomer. Jesus did not look at us in our defeat and leave us in that state that we were in. He offered us something. And we're going to discover today that he gave us some amazing things to help us overcome this thing that we call life. You still got to live it, but at least you can live it to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Just got one verse that we're going to be looking at. I glanced at it last week, but the Holy Spirit said he had some more work to do in that verse, so we're going to look at that today. For we are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Just for a few minutes, I want to invite your attention as we talk about the winning walk. The winning walk. You may be seated. Lord God, we ask that you speak through us now and help us to proclaim your truth as only you can do. We thank you for those that are listening online. We pray for them that they would hear the message clearly, Lord, and we thank you for our staff that works with us to get this word out so that people would not only hear it in the sanctuary, but beyond these four walls. Bless, Lord, because without you, we can do nothing, but through you, we can do all things. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. So let's just get a little poll here. Let's figure out how many of you all love to walk. You walk for exercise, you walk various things. And actually, walking has become, it's been bona fide that it's a way that you can improve your health. In other words, if you're looking at health outcomes, so the experts say that it can improve your cardiovascular health. helps your heart. And not only that, but it helps your bone structure. It helps your muscles. It helps everything about you. It improves you because you're engaged in a walk. You're engaged in an activity. But humans are people of comfort, you might say. We love to have things comfortable, and we've kind of devised these little practices, and we've kind of manipulated the system so that we don't have to walk as much. Early on, people developed a use of animals. They rode an animal. Why walk when you can ride? So they would ride the camels, the mules, the horses, all of these things to get to a destination. What they discovered was they can actually go further because they have something to support them. Also, in technology, now we're seeing that you can get on a plane. You don't have to walk a distance. You can get on a plane, a boat. You can travel, train. You can travel great distances. And so people are seeing that, well, I don't need to walk as much. But old folks would tell you, you better get out there and start moving. Because one day you're going to want to use those muscles and find out that they don't work as well. As they say, and when my mother would say this, it can't be that bad. You get stiff. What is she talking about? And then she'd look at me and say, you live long enough. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And guess what? I've lived long enough. But what about your spiritual walk? What about that walk that you have with God? You know, we're in a day and age now where people would dismiss the duties of a Christian and they would say, well, the Lord's going to do it. God's going to work for me. And so you have many positioning themselves to get blessed, but they don't understand that the blessing is in the walk. The blessing is not there if you're on the sidelines. Christianity is not something that you look at. It's something that you participate in. Very interesting Sunday school lesson this morning. Talked about what people believe. How that many people believe they're going to heaven but don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to help you out with that today. I know we can go to the scripture and we can say that Jesus said he's the way, the only way. He's the truth and the life. We can go to the scripture. But what Paul is going to do in this second chapter of Ephesians is to tell you exactly what Christ did and why it is critical for everyone to believe in him. There is no other way for you to know God except through Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, before I get into the meat of the sermon, let me just give you a little bit about what he says here. You, according to Ephesians 2, were dead in your trespasses and sin. How many of you would admit that you were in sin? I admit it. I acknowledge it. You could not change yourself. There was no way for you to improve, change, or deliver yourself from the bondage that you were in. But here's what God did when you said, I believe in Jesus Christ. What it says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. In other words, when you were dead, the same would be true if you were just inactive, not able to participate with God. That's the condition that we were in, but God brought you to life. Notice who he brought you to life in. He brought you to life in Christ. That's the only way you can live. You can try other religions. I don't down other people. I don't try to, you know, beat them over the head and say, well, you know, why won't you? I don't do that. But I can tell them that when I was in my trespasses, wanted to change, but could not change. But guess what? When I said Jesus, God changed. When I said I believe, God did a work in me that human hands could not perform. So that's the first part. That's the first part. He quickened you. He brought you to life in Christ. The only way that you and I can live spiritually is that we must live through Christ. Paul says in Galatians, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's the first part. But it goes on to say, and we preached this last week, God placed you in Christ. What does that mean? He seated you in heavenly places. How many of y'all have sat in some good seats in your life? How many of y'all got an easy chair in your house? You know, that's my chair. Get mad, somebody else sit in your chair. Problem is, that's in your house. Something can happen to your house, and not only will you not have your chair, you won't have your house. God wanted to preserve you in a permanent place, and so what he did, he seated you in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about what he's going to do later. I'm talking about what he's done now. Now, you're not physically there, but God says, if I got this place for you in glory, you're as good as there. Now, with that in mind, how many of you know you're going to heaven? Not by works. Not by anything you've done. Nothing I could do, but the grace of God bought it for you. Are y'all listening? The grace of God did that. Took you out of sin, brought you to life in Christ, and then seated you in heaven with Jesus, because when Jesus sat down in glory and said, God, I did what you told me to do, guess who sat down with him? You and I. You're not there physically, but you better believe that the Holy Spirit is going to make sure that you're there when everything is over. Are y'all with me? Now, what I want to do today, what I want to do today is talk about this winning walk. You might ask the question, well, what am I going to do between now and heaven? How am I going to live my life now that I'm saved? Do I just kind of wait around at the bus station spiritually, at the train station, or wherever you think you're going to leave from? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you there? Okay, now here's what's going to happen. While you are still on this earth, God's got some things for you to do. I'm going to bring that out. I'm going to give you five things that, you know, that we can now look at, five factors that are working in us so that we can live as a Christian. You don't just go down here and live whatever kind of way you want to. You cease doing what you used to do, and now you walk with the Lord. I'll get into that in just a second. But look at somebody, tell them, this is your spiritual walk. This is the walk that you are going to walk in Christ. This is what it means to walk with the Lord. It doesn't mean that you go around and you beat people over the head. It doesn't mean that you put on special clothes and you look, you know, frankly, weird. But it does mean that you're a new person. That new person that you are now speaks about the one that you are now living for. So the verse says, we are his workmanship. Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let's break that down. First of all, you're created. Your creation. Not just your outward body, but your new spiritual body that you are now in Christ. And notice it uses the word workmanship. The same way that God worked on Adam, all of the other animals, all of the other creatures, all of the planets, God just spoke them into existence. But when it came to man, God engaged in a personal and powerful work. Bible said he scooped up some clay. And James Weldon Johnson brings that out. He said, you know, he scoops up some clay and began to work with it. That's the image that you have of God now working on you. He's working on you. Not just working on you, he's working in you. Now, let's see how much progress you got. How many of you all would say that you're a whole lot better now than what you used to be? Now, would you give that credit to God, or would you say, well, hey, you know what? I'm a good person. You lie. You would cuss folk out at the drop of a hat. You would act some kind of way were it not for the fact that God is doing what? He is working on you. He's working on you. We are his workmanship. And that Greek word has to do that, deal with the fact that he's engaged in it. It's not just say, well, you know, I'm going to make a bunch of these and I'm going to reproduce all of them alike. No. God made you individually. He's got a plan for your life that's out of sight. And what you ought to do is hang on in there and say, God, work on me. God, work on me. Mold me, shape me, make me what I need to be. And what God will do, he will perform that work in you to show, here's what I can do through a life that's totally surrendered. Here's what I can do with a person who says, God, I want to see what you can do with my life. Now, I ask you a question. How many of y'all would admit the Lord brought you from a mighty long way? Oh, we used to sing that song, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. So not only are we created in Christ Jesus, but here's the material that God worked with. A lot of people say, well, I just need God to help me, you know, turn my life around. No, you need God to give you a new life. God does not use old material to create new creatures. Does not do it. He uses the fabric of his son. You ever go into some of these fabric shops and you'll notice they got all kinds of cloth, all kinds of things around, different designs. Some of them have different colors, all of that. And they will choose a specific fabric to make something with. There's only one fabric in the new life, and that's Jesus. So if you're thinking, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf, you better go and cut down the tree. You must be born of God in order to become the person of God. He cannot use the material of anything else except his son. That's the only thing that he can use. Notice it says, created in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to get there. Being a Baptist is not going to get you there. Amen. Well, I go to a Baptist church. Okay. That's fine. But do you think that it's going to get you in heaven? You better put on that Christ-like garment. You better put on that new robe of what it means to be in Christ and a new creature. So we got a couple of things. God's working on us, but he's using the fabric of Christ to mold us and shape us into what we need to be. The other thing that God is doing, he is doing this work not to say, I'm going to start it. He says, I'm going to complete it. Every work you look at, God has completed. You look out in the heaven, you don't see half a star. Now, you might see half a moon sometime, but that's because it's aligned with the earth and you can't see the other half, but it's there. A lot of us think, well, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm just praying my good when I outweigh my bad. And so that's half. I'm just praying before I get to heaven, I can get rid of this and get rid of that. That's half. You want a whole life. You want a new life. You want the completed life that you will have in Christ Jesus. And notice it says here, God's workmanship that he created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should, here we go with our phrase, walk in them. And some of the other languages that it uses, or the other version that it uses, to do them. So God's got some things that he wants you to do while you're in Christ and because you're saved. So why should we walk as a Christian? And we talk about exercise, talk about fun and fellowship, we talk about health, we talk about that, other things that we can do. But walking as a Christian, it is to become like Christ. You're here today in a fitting room. God's measuring you for a greater garment of what it means to be in Christ. You're in the fitting room. And one day when all of this is completed and God presents you in glory, you will become his shining masterpiece. Think about that. You're going to be a masterpiece because God, the master craftsman, has worked on you. Let anybody else work on you, they're going to mess you up. Let any other doctrines come into your mind, it's going to harm you and destroy you. So how do we walk in Christ? A couple of things here we want to do. We want to walk in the power of the Spirit. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 16 talks about walking in the power of the Spirit. Walking, depending on God to do the work and not something that we can produce in and of ourselves. Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill, look at this, the lust of the flesh. So why do we come to church? So we can walk in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? You're going to give in to those things of the world. You're going to start saying to yourself, well, I'm only human. And all of us, we got our flaws. And next thing you know, you've fallen from grace. You've allowed the tempter, you've allowed the things of this world to come in and dominate your mind rather than keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. Look at somebody, tell them, walk in the Spirit. But not only is it walking in the Spirit, we are walking because God is actually shaping us, forming us as we live. God takes your experiences, the trials and struggles of this life, and God uses that to shape you. Some of you have had to go through some hardships, some trials in your life, and you ask, Lord, why am I going through this? But would you at least admit I'm a whole lot stronger now because I'm on the other side of it? You still may not understand what God was doing, but you understood that he's always been there with you. Every prayer you heard, every prayer you prayed, everything that you had to go through, every sorrow, every time your heart was broken, God kept saying to you, I'm right here with you. I will not allow you to go through this by yourself. God's working on you. And where you are right now may not be a pleasant place, but don't look at where you are. Look at where you're going. The children of Israel made a dreadful mistake. They were all excited to get out of Egypt. Why? They'd been there 400 years plus. Now they're in the wilderness. They were excited the first couple of days. Man, this is great. We're free. We don't have to get up in the morning and go work for the Egyptians. We are free. But they didn't understand that freedom comes as a responsibility. They wanted to get in the wilderness and chill out. But there was no McDonald's. There was no Happy Meal. There was nothing that they could have to hold on to. And when their natural food ran out, rather than them ask God, they depended on themselves, and they started complaining. They murmured, and the Bible said they even rebelled against God. Why? They were not allowing God to work on them. He was going to give them manna. It was already on the menu. But then after they got the manna, they started, we want something else. But if where you are is only temporary, why in the world do you want everything in a temporary situation? Wait till you get to the place where God has given you and then say, now, Lord, give me everything you have for me. Some of y'all gonna miss that. Being his workmanship does not mean that you're going to get everything you want in life. Let me say that again. Being his workmanship does not mean that you are going to get everything that you want in life, but I tell you what, you'll get everything you need. Yes. Keep it moving. And lastly, we've already dealt with this, where God creates us now in Christ Jesus. So the question is, am I going to walk with God, or am I going to walk in the power of my own flesh? I'm going to give you five things that we're going to break down as far as this walk is concerned. Number one, you got to walk in the light. You got to walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 tells us about this light. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. When you're walking in the light, it illuminates your path. When you're walking with God, it illuminates your path. I asked Kendall before the service, I was going to do a little illustration. Somebody asked you and your son, come out here just a second. Y'all ready? What we want to do a lot of times, we want to see. And sometimes we just have to trust God. So how you doing? Good. Doing good today? Can you close your eyes for just a second? Do you trust your dad? Now, your dad's going to take your hand, okay? Don't want you to open your eyes, but your dad's going to lead you around the front of this altar. He's going to lead you around the front of this altar for just a little bit. Kendall, lead him around there. Now, while they're walking, this is the way that you need to trust God. He's going to talk to you and tell you where you are. So what you got to do is keep your eyes of faith open. Close your natural eyes and depend on God. You notice he's talking with him. How many of you have gone through life and God had to talk with you when you couldn't see what was happening? All right, thank you. Thank you. Can I tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me. I am his own. I don't have to see it. I have to believe it. And when I believe it, the light comes on. When I believe it, God is working. I don't have to do the work. God's doing the work. Are you listening to me today? If we walk in the light. If you're walking. But not only should we walk in the light, the Bible tells you need to walk uprightly. Look, it's about to tell him, walk uprightly. Act like you're a Christian. I'll not find you up there. Amen. I got to go down the street. Every time you go to convenience store and city, you just buying gas and coming out. Oh, did I mess you up? Just go in there, get your snacks and get your, pay for your gas, walk out. Don't be asking stupid questions like, what number's playing today? Walk, 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 walk. Walk on by, walk on by. I know it's there. I know you think you're going to win, but don't do it. Y'all didn't think I was going down the street, did you? Hunt somebody, tell them, keep walking, keep walking. Look at this verse. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. You like the first part of the verse, but some of you got a problem with the second part. You got to walk uprightly. You got to honor God. Now, I know you can't resist that pull of that machine. But if you can get in church and say, Holy Ghost, help me, why can't you do it in the convenience store? Oh, I done messed with somebody today. I messed with somebody. And it's the same thing when you get paid on Friday. Just go to different places, pay your bills, don't pay any attention to that ABC. Look at somebody and say, walk uprightly, walk up. Walk uprightly, walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. You know, I'm engaged in the community. I go around and I go to different places and I see some in the convenience store and stuff. And they see me and they got something up on their arm. I'm not in your business. But the Holy Spirit is with you. He wants you to walk uprightly and do his will. I got to move on. I'm messing with y'all. I know I am. But I'm just appalled at the hypocrisy of our government. Once was a day when playing the numbers was wrong. It was illegal. Wait a minute. If it was illegal then, you mean you can legislate and pass a law? Yeah, we're going to play the numbers and we're going to support education. Make it look right. The only thing you did, you just changed the number dealer. Now you're dealing with the government instead of the guy on the corner. Watch our system. Marijuana legalized. I got to preach. That doesn't mean you got to smoke. It's legal, but what employer is going to want to hire you and you come up on the job, oh, yo, man, what's up? How you doing? Man, so I'm not putting you on my machine. You're not coming on my job. Mess up my stuff. All of these things will lead you astray unless you understand that God's got a higher standard. When I joined the military, they told me, they even took away my clothes. I mean, I ain't have my own clothes, Reverend Anderson. He said, we're going to give you some clothes. You are now GI, what we call government issue. I look like a soldier. I walk like a soldier. I knew the articles of being a soldier. And when we stood in formation, I saluted like a soldier. Why? Because they had trained me. And you mean to tell me that between here and glory, God can't work on you? Do you have the audacity to tell me that God can't change you? I'm a living witness he can change you. He'll take the taste out of your mouth. He will deliver you from those things. When God says, walk with me, he will pick you up. He will turn you around. You don't have to have the things of the world because you got Jesus. I got to finish my sermon. I got to get out of here. Chicken on the stoves. I got to get out of here. I'm a vegetarian, but that's all right. You got to walk by faith. Kendall and his son gave us an excellent example. That boy kept his eyes closed. Why? Because he trusted his daddy. God, through the Holy Spirit, is saying to you and me, why can't you trust me? You can't see what's ahead, but I know what's ahead. Why can't you trust me? And if you get lonely, hold my hand tighter. If you get weary, get closer to me. God says, I will never let you go. Notice what it says. We walk by faith and not by sight. You don't need scientific evidence. All you need is faith in God. That's all you need. That's all you need. Faith in God. Let me hurry on. But you got to walk in love. Look at somebody, tell them, walk in love. This used to be the practice of churches. But now folk will find any and every reason to get mad at you. Come on, talk to me up in here. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us. Did you know that Jesus loved you even when you were wrong? He loved you even though you were filthy. He never stopped loving you. As a matter of fact, once he put his eyes on you. I heard one preacher say, any of y'all ever been in love? Any of y'all ever been in love? And the person you was in love, I'm not talking about where you are now. Now you probably get to the point. I'm just, you know, you kind of like glad it's night. I'm neither one of us. I want to be the first to say goodbye. y'all laughing at it, but you just, they get on my nerves. But the thing is, when God loved you, he never took his eye off of you. Even when you fail him, he never takes his eye off of you. He's always watching stuff in your way that he doesn't want in your way. Guess what God does? He moves it so you can keep on walking. Things that he knows that's too heavy for you, God comes in. He lifts it because he loves you. You better know that you have somebody to love you and to care for you. And so what does he tell us to do? Walk in this kind of love. It would be one thing if you had to look for it, but you don't have to. Now you can experience it because you and I are in Christ. He's going to give you the ability. Every time your tank starts running low, you go fill up. Let me. This is a ridiculous example, but I'm going to say it anyway. When your tank runs low on your vehicle, you got an indicator, right? Tells you. Now, mine works different from yours. I wait until the light comes on. Danny, they don't want to ride with me. Because I follow that coffee exam. I'm good to the last drop. Gas high. You look at the indicator, and it's time to get a refill or it's time to get more gas. Don't put $5 in because it don't go nowhere. Trust me, I tried that. You don't have to make the gas. The refinery has already done that for you. Processor they got somewhere way out in Texas or Louisiana, somewhere where they made the gas, shipped it in. You don't have to go down there to get the gas. It's right here at your local station. Y'all get me? I'm closing with this. When you need love, well, I'm going to try to love them anyway. You don't have to go and fabricate it. Take God's love. Fill up on it. Now let me ask you, do you know what it means for God to love you? Then you better go on and love somebody else. But Red, you don't know. They just cussed me out last week. Well, you ain't got to cuss them back. Get a fill up. As a matter of fact, how many of y'all came to church to get a fill up today? I know some of y'all still upset about them numbers. That's all right. You get over it. Walk in love. Lastly, walk with the Lord. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. At one point in the Gospel of John, the disciples were concerned about the fact that Jesus kept saying, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you, but I'll not leave you alone. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what that meant. But then at the close, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he made that statement again when he told them, you go everywhere. You preach the gospel. You share what it means to know God. You go everywhere. And then he gave them this message. I am with you Always. Always. What if I'm dying? Always. What if I'm sick? Always. What if I'm weary? What if I'm tired? Always. What if I do wrong and come short? Always. He promised you, I will never leave you. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on walking. People talk about you, lie on you. They cannot separate you from the love of Christ. And you ought to rejoice that you know God and look at somebody and tell them, I'm walking, I'm walking, I'm walking, I'm walking. Stand on your feet as we have prayer. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a new walk. And we don't have to walk by ourselves. We have someone that walks with us and talks with us. I pray you touch hearts today, change lives. People online, I pray that you would let them know that you've also made it available for them. They can have this glorious walk in Christ. Thank you for your goodness. Change hearts, bless minds, and fill us with your grace. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want to give the invitation. There might be someone today that perhaps wants to join the church. We are here. I'll tell anybody. We're a church that's learning and growing. Amen. We're learning more and more about the Lord. There'll be another today. There'll be another today.
You keep me when I'm weak, strength.